ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Good evening, and another night edition. Welcome back to the program with Rick Adams. It's Rick Adams Uncensored. Now, in the first hour tonight, we have with us, well, he's back from last year to this year. It's Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. And, Ted, welcome to the program.
Hello, Rick.
Hello, Ted.
Here I am, Rick.
I hear you. It's good to have you back, Ted.
Well, thanks for having me, Rick.
Yes, and now this year you are, I guess, you feel a little freer to post-election time to be able to get more involved in this exposure of some of the issues that truthtellers.org has been involved in, and primarily one of them has been the, as you know, the often introduced and defeated as well, hate crimes bill, hate speech bill as well in the Congress. So this year, I understand, as the new session of the Congress is back, the 113th Congress, I believe, they are talking about supporting the introduction of the of that bill again, right?
Yes. In fact, I called Representative Sheila Jackson Lee's office this morning, and their office confirmed that she is going to introduce the hate bill into this Congress. I don't know exactly when, but her record is over the last two Congresses, she has been the person to introduce it in, and she's always done it in the first week of those two Congresses. So I would think that even by the end of this week, we could see the federal hate bill reintroduced. Probably might have a different name. They changed the names around, but the substance of the hate bill is always the same. It's basically a high-sounding attempt to end so-called hate and violence in the United States, but actually what it really wants to do eventually is to end verbal violence against federally protected groups such as homosexuals, Jews, etc. And, of course, that means criticism of homosexuality. It also means criticism of the state of Israel.
Mm-hmm. And, boy, I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of criticism to make and to hear concerning the state of Israel and what it is doing in its campaign of ethnic cleansing that's going on right now in Gaza. So it's very timely, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And in countries like Canada, criticizing Jews or matters Jewish or even Zionism can be called the hate crime of anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what this hate bill is all about. They have the promoters of the hate bill, which is, of course, the Anti-Defamation League, always puts out front that they have tremendous compassion for homosexuals who are the victims of basically white Christian bigotry. And they want to protect the delicate self-esteem and emotions of misunderstood homosexuals, and therefore we need these federal hate crimes bills. But behind that facade, behind that front, ADL basically wants to outlaw Christianity, Christian morality and ethics, and especially the right of Christians to speak up boldly in the public forum.
Mm-hmm.
And as many of our listeners already know, ADL was the primary impetus behind the establishment of the federal hate crime in Canada, which
right.
they pushed through Parliament in 1971, and that very quickly radiated out to a speech crime law. ADL promised that this was a sincere attempt to end violent hate speech that would lead to violence, but it quickly became a speech law.
Yes, indeed, and that's what they want here. All right, Ted Pike is our guest. We will be back with him in just 3 minutes, so you stay tuned for more information. Get ready. I'm Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio. And we're back now with Ted Pike, www.truthtellers.org. Ted, if you go to the site, your site, I guess you have prepared another alert video, a 10-minute video that deals with this subject of hate laws. Is that right?
Yes, we have a 10-minute video alert which basically exposes and debunks of three major lies which are currently being put out about the hate bill.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage everyone to go to truthtellers.org. You just click on and watch that video. It's a wonderful tool. We're getting wonderful responses. It's up on YouTube right now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of traffic, and people are very enthusiastic about it because it's so simple, so direct. It's something that really should be shared in churches, Sunday school classes, conservative clubs, as well as sending around. You can link to it to your friends, and really should be viewed by every Christian, every pastor, every lover of freedom in America.
And when was the last time you played it? Because I tried earlier today, and I noticed a lot of breaking up.
Well, that might be due to your computer. I listened to it, was it yesterday or this morning, and it was okay.
Yeah, it's unusual because I normally don't have that trouble with any of the sites and any of the videos. So
we'll check that out.
Yeah, check it out because, you know, it is strange the way when I went to play it, it had occurred to happen. We were getting breakups in the audio and the video was out of sync and so forth. Yeah, but that it could be on my end, but I just thought I'd mention that to you.
Okay.
Because, you know, of course, there are those out there who would like to have people not get the message of the video that is very effective, as you say, getting up on YouTube and, you know, some of these other forums where literally, you know, millions of people have access to it. And the one thing that the ADL types have always feared has been a mass awakening of the public to what they're up to, what they're doing. So that's why I bring that up, you know.
Yes, well, it's getting five-star ratings on YouTube, and I guess I do have another video, an 80-minute video, but I think the time is of the essence right now, and busy people
who
should probably come to this 10-minute brief condensation of exactly what is going on in as far as hate bill lies and how we can set things straight.
Right. Now, we have a lot of new listeners, I've found, and we have the new time back again, some of my old hours and back to a two-hour schedule. And, you know, there are a number of people that probably have not heard you recently, certainly not on my show, and maybe have missed you on your appearances that you've had recently on RBN and other networks. So for those people and their sake, I'd like to have you maybe tell us again the genesis of it, the history, the fact that in the United States, how many years we have seen the introduction of this legislation on the federal level, and you know, the various reasons that the ADL types and others, various lobbies, have used to try to pass this so that they'll understand really the chronology of it and what's really behind the whole thing.
Well, to really get back to the bedrock on this, we have to go back to the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ADL is an adjunct of B'nai B'rith International, which is basically a Jewish educational fraternal organization, and basically a religious organization, which has a strong antipathy and opposition and rivalry to Christianity. B'nai B'rith is an international organization, but even at that, it is a relatively small minority within Judaism. And as we're talking about the Jews of ADL B'nai B'rith, we're not talking about all Jews. We're talking about Jewish activists, people who have a strong global agenda, a desire to weaken Christianity and Christian influence in the world so that their own secular Judaic agenda can dominate in society. And, of course, ADL is part of a network going through a Jewish-dominated media, Jewish-dominated Congress, Zionist control of Congress, and Zionism in Israel, and so on. Nevertheless, they don't constitute all Jews. Now, having said that, ADL has a sordid record of promoting hate crimes legislation, particularly in the Western Hemisphere. And some of this first arose with the Genocide Treaty back in the late 40s, early 50s,
mm-hmm.
in which they attempted to get thought crimes under the supervision and the adjudication of the United Nations,
mm-hmm.
holding people up to mental harm and so on. Well, that didn't work very well. But so around the late 1980s, the ADL held a very pivotal conference at the Hofstra University in New York, in which they resolved to create a model anti-hate law for America, which would basically say that if anyone was bias motivated against members of a federally protected group, such as Jews, homosexuals, etc., if bias was the motivation and it resulted in some kind of a crime, it would be called a hate crime. And they were able during the 1990s to sell this idea to roughly 45 U.S. states. So we now have 45 ADL-inspired hate crimes laws governing 45 states. At the same time, I should mention, actually a little earlier, in 1971, ADL persuaded the government of Canada, Parliament, to enact their version of a federal anti-hate law, which very quickly radiated out, as I say, the local provinces, the magistrates, and so on, very quickly took it from being just a law to protect federally protected groups from verbal attack and provocations to violence against them, but it broadened out into a speech crime, a national speech crimes law, which said that if you hold up groups such as homosexuals to hatred or contempt, that is a hate crime. And these laws in Canada established the fact that the Holy Scriptures, especially Romans, Leviticus, and so on, with their denunciations of homosexuality, were to be forbidden in the public sphere, on radio, in print, even on the street corner. Today in Canada, it is strictly illegal to quote Leviticus against homosexuality anywhere in Canada, including the pulpit, and any pastor, any talk show host, any Christian witness, even in public, who quotes the Bible will be arrested very quickly. They will be found guilty because they have held homosexuals up to hatred and contempt.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line fine is about $5,000 from quoting for the Bible in Canada. And if you repeat that offense, you are facing jail time. So basically, this is the beginning of this sordid record of taking away free speech, especially for Christian conservatives and those of the political right in the Americas.
All right. Now, people who are listening may be saying, well, Ted, that sounds like it's rather ominous, but can you point to any example here in the United States where anyone under these state-wide laws that have been drafted by the ADL, the 45 or so states, where anybody has been prosecuted for saying something or implying something in bias motivation that would infringe upon their free speech rights or religious liberty? Can you point to any examples?
Well, I think the most egregious example is in 2004 when
mm-hmm.
11 Christians were doing nothing more
mm-hmm.
than peacefully witnessing to homosexuals singing a hymn in a big gay pride parade in Philadelphia. And Lynn Abraham, who is a national executive board member of the ADL,
mm-hmm.
She gave the order to have those Christians rounded up in the paddy wagon, incarcerated them for 21 hours in the Justice Department jail, and socked them with 7 different arrest warrants, including violation of ADL's Pennsylvania hate crimes law. And they were facing 47 years in prison. If all of those laws they supposedly violated had been enforced against them, and this was an outrage. But what it showed was that although these ADL people who sell these hate laws to states and to governments promise that there are safeguards, walls of safety around hate crimes laws, they're only meant to and violent hate crimes. Nevertheless, what we see is that when the ADL types, the ADL Gestapo in state or government really wants to go
mm-hmm.
after Christians or conservatives, they don't care about these boundaries that are supposedly there. They overflow them, and they indict the Christians on whatever charge they want to.
Well, that unfortunately is very true, and it is effective in most of the state legislatures that I've noticed, where overzealous prosecutors and people like some attorneys general have decided that they would go after someone, particularly a white, particularly a male, particularly a Christian, because of some perceived bias or politically incorrect crime. And of course, we've seen that throughout the country, most recently last year. And we notice how these particular politically motivated attorneys general would like to be able to get their teeth into something like that to win brownie buttons with the ADL.
Yes.
And the Jewish establishment, you see?
That's right. And also we're seeing a general trend for governors of states to...
All right, hold that thought, Ted. We'll get the music playing. We'll be right back in just 3 minutes, and we'll pick up on that and the governors in these United States. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You join us.
Hitting them pretty hard and knocking them right out of the park. Rick Adams is on. Right on. On base, on point, on RBNLive.com.
All right, we're back now with Ted Pike of www.truthtellers.org. And Ted, you were just mentioning about governors in the country now. What's happening with that?
Well, the same pattern of overflowing legal boundaries is manifesting itself during the last year. Governor Schwarzenegger in California signed the law, SB 777, which made it a hate crime, made it basically an offense against the state of California to criticize homosexuality in the public school system.
Mm-hmm.
If a child criticized homosexuality, he would be expelled and forced to take special classes of reeducation. If a faculty member criticized homosexuality, they would lose their job. And then also over in Colorado, Governor Bill Ritter signed into law a similar bill directed toward the businesses of Colorado, saying that if any business was involved in language or literature or teaching against homosexuality, they would lose the state protection and services and so on. So here's an example of, you see, what the ADL told the state legislators for many years, primarily in the 1990s, was that this law, if passed, would in no way infringe on free speech, but it had strict criteria of what was a hate crime. A hate crime was, number one, bias motivation, involved in some kind of violation of established law. Now here, and so all of these legislators said, well, that sounds like pretty good constitutional protections, the checks and balances to us. They sign in these laws, and then lo and behold, once you establish a bias-motivated justice system on the state or the federal level, then bias kind of swells into some kind of enormous criteria of evil doing. Pretty soon you forget about the other requirements of violating some established law, and you just go after bias. That's what happened in Philadelphia. That's what is happening in these other states. They become basically speech crime or thought crime laws.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, we have seen that application in a very biased, very politically correct way in the prosecution of certain crimes with race as a motivating factor, and certainly putting those who might be victims in these cases. I can think of several cases where whites, of course, were attacked and beaten and or murdered, and the assailants, though they might have been black or Hispanic or illegals even, were not prosecuted on the basis of hate motivation. So we know that this is typical of the ADL. It's a one-way street.
Yes.
In the way they prosecute these crimes, and they advise people, and as in the case of Lynn Abraham, in Philadelphia, that was a classic example. Now, we did have on the program, I think it was Michael Markovich, who was one of those who was arrested there.
Yes.
Last year.
That's right. In all these hate crime bureaucracies, whether it's Canada, Australia, Europe, the U.S., and so on, there's a very selective morality on the part of the hate crimes Gestapo who enforce these laws.
Mm-hmm.
They basically, their main mentality is that basically white Christians and even males have a long and sordid history of abusing blacks, Chicanos, women, homosexuals, etc. And basically, it's payback time. It's time to get even with white Christians. And so what you have is, if it's black on white hate crime, then it is adjudicated in the usual court system, if it's adjudicated at all, according to our traditional English law. However, if it happens to be some kind of white or alleged white hate crime against a homosexual or a member of one of these federally protected groups, then they go out, they throw everything at them. A good example of that was just this last year in Illinois. There was a young Christian athlete, Brett Van Aslen, 18 years old, and he was out with a friend just walking through the U of I campus, and a young homosexual whom Brett alleges was drunk came kind of careening down the street past him, and Brett made a remark about him that he was drunk or he's a homo or something like that. Anyway, this homosexual turned on Brett and got into his face and demanding that he repent of what he says or whatever. And Brett pushed him away because he was assaulting him. He was accosting him. The fellow fell over on his back and hit his head. No serious injury, but he claimed that he was a victim of a hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, the police came, of course, that there were two officers who assured Brett and his friend that he had nothing to fear because it was a clear matter of self-defense against assault. The other two officers, however, who interviewed the homosexual and some friends who gathered around him, claimed that Brett had made terrible homophobic slurs and abusive language against the homosexual, etc. In short, the district attorney only listened to the officers who described it as a hate crime. Brett was arrested, indicted as a hate criminal. And as you're probably aware, we mounted a national campaign of calling against the district attorney. Finally, he was found guilty of assault, but not a hate crime.
Yeah, and even that was suspect. All right, we'll be back. Ted, Ted Pike is our guest, and we'll continue this program. If you have a question about the proposals coming forth in the new Congress pertaining to the hate crimes measures, then jump aboard. I'm Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
And we're back now with Ted Pike. 800-313-9443 is our number. So, Ted, if people go to the website, www.truthtellersoneword.org, they will see this video up there that's posted on YouTube, right? The one you've prepared.
Yes, and you can watch that. We also have a very good brochure there that you can print front and back. You can print that out and take it to your local copy shop, make hundreds of copies, pass it out in your church, put one behind the windshields, on front of the windshields of the cars in the parking lot. Get out the word. This is a dynamic little brochure that contains very hard-hitting arguments against the hate bill, as well as a documentation of how hate crimes laws have been abused in different countries.
And now you have stated also that the Obama administration certainly has indicated its support for passage of such a measure.
Yes, they have, and not only that, but of course the Democrats are dominating both the House and the Senate now. We have a virtually filibuster-proof Senate. On the other hand, in the last hate bill fight 2 years ago, we found four Democrats finally came over and abandoned support for the hate bill in the Senate. And there were 11 Democrats in the House who abandoned support. And I am optimistic that if we have a groundswell of protest arising, especially right now, going to the members of Congress, but especially the senators, there is hope that we can let them know in no uncertain terms so strongly that we will vote them out. They must listen to the people, that we could see a similar reversal in the Senate. Now, it's very important right now to get those calls going into Congress, especially now before the avalanche of new legislation is preoccupying the members of Congress. Could I give the toll-free numbers right now?
Of course, of course.
Okay, the toll-free number to your member of the Senate or the House is 877-851-6437. Again, that toll-free number, 877-851-6437. And then there's a backup toll number, 202-225-3121. Again, that toll number is 202-225-3121. Just tell your member of Congress, please don't vote for the hate crimes bill. Hate laws have taken away free speech in Canada and many European countries. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't know your member of Congress, don't worry. Just call one of these numbers and tell the campus, the Congress operator that you don't know, and immediately she'll ask you for your zip code, and in a few seconds you will be at the offices of these members of Congress.
You know, Ted, we were talking about the fact that many of the special interest groups, the so-called gay lobby and others, have lobbied long and hard for this bill, joining in a coalition with the ADL. But, you know, now more than ever, it seems to me evident that with each passing month, with what's going on in the Middle East and worldwide vis-a-vis the Israelis, what we're facing now is an increase of pointed criticism against that government in Jerusalem, and essentially that is of concern to the ADL. Obviously, they're frightened by it, that if indeed more and more Americans start thinking for themselves and cut through the matrix of propaganda and start reading and seeing what's up on YouTube and some of the other sites that have been posted, for instance, including yours, that they might not be able to pull off this end-time biblical prophecy of worldwide Jewish domination. And so I see that the timing of this now particularly is absolutely propitious on their part. And, you know, it's just amazing because just today I was noting that pro-Israel resolution now is being planned by the Democrats in Congress.
Yes.
Even as the Israelis continue to rip apart Gaza and some of the most horrendous acts of violence since World War II, that what we're seeing here is an effort to introduce a non-binding congressional resolution supporting Israel's goals in the Gaza Strip operation. And, of course, Representative Steny Hoyer, I'm sure we're all familiar with him, is the House of Representatives Majority Leader. He told the Jewish Telegraphic Agency that he was looking at such a resolution, which is being drafted in the office of Representative Howard Berman, another Jewish Democrat from California, the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Now, I would suspect that these people here are the same ones who have in the past been strong supporters of the hate bill.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the ADL just came out with a report several days ago listing scores. They're saying scores of demonstrations have been taking place in the United States. Literally hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe even thousands, have joined together to protest Israeli misbehavior in Gaza. You know, back in 1982, when Ariel Sharon led the tremendous carnage against southern Lebanon, there was something like 20,000 innocent people in the refugee camps were slaughtered
mm-hmm.
as a result of Israeli firepower. You know, I don't remember any public demonstrations in America in protest to that. And there were some columnists like Georgianne Geyer and a few other people who did criticize that, and certainly no evangelical leaders criticized it. But here you can see the tremendous contrast that with a free internet,
mm-hmm.
the truth has been able to leap clear
mm-hmm.
across media control boundaries, and we were able to bring tremendous truth to the nations. We have four major videos on this subject of Zionism and so on and hate laws, and hundreds of thousands of people have watched those on Google now, and we're massively able to educate as never before in history. And I think what we're working for is it's necessary to bring up the temperature of anger and hatred and righteous indignation against Israel, and
sure.
part of that, the benefits of that will be to include anger against the ADL, because ADL is the public relations representative of Israel in the world.
That's right.
And what we want to do is to kind of triangulate here, connect the dots between ADL, Israel, loss of free speech, oppression in the Middle East, Jewish control of the media, and so on. It's all part of the same web,
mm-hmm.
the same complex. And I think that in time, not only Christian evangelicals, but peace activists and so on will begin to join with those who are suspicious of Jewish control in general.
Yes, and with the recent arrest of Frederick Tobin, in Europe, and then, of course, the aftermath of letting him basically go compared to what was planned for him, we see opposition even in Europe now growing to the ADL's control over their thoughts and their processes where they, I mean, many of the countries of Europe where they do have these hate laws, particularly in Germany and England and elsewhere, you see?
Yes, and we're in kind of a race to the finish here with these evil Jewish leaders and activists, you see,
mm-hmm.
because they are working for basically the right to control the New World Order, an international hate crimes, economic, military bureaucracy of the coming days. And
right.
you see, what we're seeing right now is that through the Internet, I and you and others are able to speak internationally. We are able to get our message into Canada, England, all around the world. And already we are
mm-hmm.
seeing signs, even in Canada, that something like dozens of national newspapers now in Canada have been editorializing
mm-hmm.
for repeal of Section 13A
right.
of the federal hate crimes law. That's the one that concerns the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to see the whole law repealed, of course, but
yes.
this is a foot in the door. This is a beginning, as many critics are rethinking the workability and justice of the Canadian hate crime law.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a call here. We have Charlie from Washington. Hello, Charlie. You're on with Ted Pike.
Hello, Rick. Yeah, I got a couple of questions here on
sure.
word definitions. And I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I don't hear anybody address this word Jew. What does the word Jew mean per the Bible and per any other dictionary? And also, the second word is Israel. What does the word Israel mean per the Bible or per any other dictionary?
Well, I don't know if that, you know, you're speaking about legally in the legal definition of the hate crime?
No, I'm talking about a definition per the book. See, the word Jew and the word Israel are both defined in the Bible, but nobody really defines these words.
Right, right. Well, we've talked about that quite a bit on the program, but I don't know if you want to tackle that one, Ted. You can do it from your own perspective.
Well, you know, we could get into that, and there are a lot of people in the Christian identity movement who,
yes.
who make this a very big thing.
Right.
I think the urgency of this hate bill issue tonight is so important, but we have to really keep focusing on this national crisis, which is going to threaten Christians of all denominations and groups, including the identity people and so on, rather than spending precious minutes now going into the history of the Jews and all of that kind of thing.
Well, what do you think it means, Charlie? What's your perspective?
Well, he just brought up another word or two words there, identity. What does that mean? And also the word Christian, what does that mean?
Right.
See, I find out here that there's people out there that call themselves Christians, and they're not Christians per the Bible.
Yeah.
And I find these people out here calling themselves Jews, and they don't have a drop of the blood of the tribe of Judah in their veins.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, at my website, truthtellers.org, I have a very extensive article on the Khazars and how the these nomadic people of Central Eurasia in about the 9th century A.D. converted en masse to Judaism. Rather than getting into all that in detail, you can come to my website, truthtellers.org, and go back a couple of years. We have a long scroll of articles to the Khazars article. It's very prominent there. I also have articles about the Ashkenazim, or that is the Khazar Jews, in control of Zionism and Israel and all that kind of thing. Khazars, the Sephardim, Eastern European Jewry, all of those things are dealt with in detail. But as I say, tonight, the time is so precious, we just have to completely focus on the hate bill. And in fact, I'd like to just kind of return ourselves.
You just brought up another question that's covered in the Bible.
Yeah.
Does God hate?
Well, yeah, we actually,
Charlie,
you know,
Charlie,
let me say
one
this.
One more question, and I'll let it go.
Okay.
What does the Bible, or who does the Bible call out as God's chosen people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
I deal with all these things at Truth Tellers.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. You know, so Charlie did mention one good point, though, about the word hate now. You see, from the Bible, in fact, that does tie directly to this legislation, Ted, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Because you talked about that before, and I've talked about it, and how hate is defined, and maybe you should take his question and actually go with it, because that word hate is in fact defined, if I'm not mistaken, in the federal hate crimes bill.
Well, the Bible says, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil."
Right.
And David says, "Do not I hate them that oppose thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred." In fact,
mm-hmm.
And you're not really a Christian. You're not really a lover of truth and a lover of God unless you can hate evil and hate satanic influences in this world. And, of course, none of us hate homosexuals per se. We don't even hate the Pharisees. We hate these evil influences and ideas that bind the souls of men. And we call out. We call out to the homosexuals. I even call out to people like Abe Foxman that they're going to have to stand before the Almighty, the true Messiah of Israel, and give an account of all their evil deeds in the day of judgment. That's an act of love as we witness to homosexuals, Jews, etc., you see. But what the ADL does is it twists all of these time-tested definitions.
Yeah, yeah.
They make hate,
mm-hmm.
they make hatred of evil into a perversion. They make it into bias, prejudice, stereotyping, all of these twisted definitions. And conversely, they tell us that love and compatibility with homosexuality is really tolerance and love and all that kind of thing. So it's a fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament that the spirit of Antichrist is to do away with the times and laws that have governed a civilization for millennium.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very true. Let's take another quick call here if we can. Keith in Indiana. Hello, Keith.
Yes, hello, Rick.
Yes.
Oh, I just want to say something here on it, because that other caller had a very good point. And the reason why they are going to have hate crimes, no matter what you do, is the same reason that we got a Federal Reserve, why the ADL got founded the same year as the Federal Reserve, why we got a United Nations treaty, why we got gun control laws, why nothing's ever stopped these people, why their banks and all their criminals and all their racketeering and everything in the underworld has never been thoroughly and truly investigated, is because there's no repentance for the same issue that man brought up. Because these pastors fail to realize that they've gone to Judaized seminaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Christ talked to this race, this generation, he indicted the whole race for all the murders back to righteous Abel. Mm. And he wasn't just talking to a few men that he was talking to. He indicted the whole race. The word generation is race. When I talk to Ted Pike, he goes, "Oh, you're a British Israelite," and hangs up on me. Doesn't let me respond.
Well, he's
well,
here
Herbert
now.
Armstrong
he's
was,
not hanging
Herbert,
up on you, Keith.
Okay, well, Herbert Armstrong was a Canaanite, too. Understand something. Maybe you didn't investigate identity enough to find the truth and repent. because he doesn't have a lot to, good to say about pastors. If you read Jeremiah 23 and Isaiah 56, pastors only mentioned even one time in the newer scriptures. So I think the problems with our pastors and with our people who are too lazy to read the Bible, and why in the world would God turn from this judgment on us without repentance?
Well, I certainly agree with you, Keith, that repentance is vital to our salvation, and again we have seen divine intervention overthrow the hate bill. Contrary to what you're saying, do you realize that the ADL introduced the federal hate bill in 1998, and we're absolutely confident that it would pass? In fact, the Republican majority leader, Republicans in Congress, told Republicans to vote for the hate bill in 1998, and yet there was a contingent of free-thinking, independent Christian conservatives there who bridled at that and began a revolt against the hate bill, which has literally lasted to this very hour, with 180 Republicans against it last fall.
Right.
Hey, we got to take a break. If you wish to stay on, Keith, go ahead for a few more moments, but then we got to wrap up. All right. We'll do that when we come back in just 3 minutes with Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org, and you know the subject. We'll be back. All right, we're back now, and I'd like to just have Keith wrap up his thought here because we want to be able to conclude the segment with Ted and finish up the hour. All right, go ahead. What were you going to say, Keith?
Well, I'm not saying that he hasn't done good works in fighting against it. It is evil. I'm just saying that they're going to have their way, even if you can stave it off one more time, because we're going to a full-blown military state. I just want to know if Ted Pike, as a reverend, understands that the people who invaded Palestine in 1947, does he understand that they're of the families of the Canaanite families and not of the Israelite families of the Bible? Does he understand that?
All right. Well, let's ask him that, and
well,
then you can hang up and listen, all right?
Because
I want to wrap up the hour.
I did mention, I think, to the previous caller that I do have an extensive article at truthtellers.org on the Khazar origins of Eastern European Jewry, the Ashkenazim of the East. I'm not going to say they're Canaanite, but I am going to say they are a Central European Turkish Hunnic stock of the Khazar nation converted to Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think we just have to wrap this up with some very important guidelines for getting this bill defeated.
All right. Okay. Let's deal with that now. Thank you for the call, Keith. Let's move along because we only have about 3 minutes in this segment. Go ahead, Ted. What's the strategy?
Yeah, the strategy right now, crucially important, is to create controversy about this bill in Congress. The ADL and the pro-homosexual hate crimes lobby, what they want to do is to lull the people or distract the people so that they can quietly and swiftly move this bill through the House and the Senate. They have overwhelming superiority. They've got the numbers. They've got the leadership to pass it through to the desk of President Obama very quickly. We need to create controversy. We need to demand hearings. If there's enough controversy, the Republicans will start to fight for us as they did 2 years ago, and perhaps we can demand of the Democrats in the House Judiciary Committee that they hold hearings. This will delay the progress of the hate bill. It'll open the possibility of watering down the hate bill and create dissension and notoriety on Capitol Hill. So it won't be done undercover, under the table, and become a fact before we even know what has happened.
Right.
So the top priority right now is to make those calls to your members of Congress. I'll just give those toll-free numbers one more time quickly.
All right.
The toll-free number is 877-851-6437. That's 877-851-6437. And the backup toll number is 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. Tell them, please don't vote for any hate crimes legislation.
All right. Well, that pretty well sums it up, and we'll see what happens in the coming days and weeks, of course, with the economic malaise affecting us, and that being the first foremost issue. It'll be interesting to see how they jockey on this one, see if they ignore it or put it on the back burner or whether they try to advance it. with the cover of the economy issue, you know?
Yes, and also people should come to truthtellers.org, watch our 10-minute video, noise it around,
yeah.
Get people educated.
Excellent. All right, Ted, thanks again for coming on. Appreciate it. We'll hear from you again.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, keep up the good work. All right, hey, hour number two coming right up. We're going to switch topics now, and I want to get back into some of the news issues of the day across the world and America. So you stay with me. Rick Adams, your chance to give us a call right here on the republicbroadcasting.org.